This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
One briefcase. One moment. Could change everything. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving you a chance to own your destiny in 2026. Play throughout the month of January, and on January 28th, one Club Serrano member will win the case, and with it, a finale spot in any 2026 promotion, plus $400,000. Which destiny will you choose? It's all happening at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio, Speed City.
Good evening, gearheads. Welcome to your Sunday night with Speed City. We're live in Austin, Texas. This is John Massengill sitting in the studio with Jonathan Green and Les Kaiser. Good evening, gentlemen. How are you?
Good, man. But halt.
Oh my God, the summer is back on in Austin, Texas. It's crazy.
Oh, it was blistering hot yesterday. And thanks to the motoring family, I got invited to go out off-roading at the coolest place, Hidden Falls Motorsports. It's like a Hidden Falls off-road adventure park.
He's not going to tell us.
Just a little bit west of Austin. And we went mudding and we went climbing hills I couldn't climb and all this kind of stuff and all kinds of four-wheel drive and off-road vehicles.
Wow. I figured, did you get out to COTA at all this weekend?
I did not.
I was thinking you were
surprised they didn't send a posse to check on me.
Well, gentlemen, let me talk about what we got on the show tonight because we have two very exciting guests. We have Scott Borchetta, who is really the busiest man in motorsports.
No question.
He is literally all over the place in motorsports. And we also have a young driver. I'm really excited all the young drivers we've had on the show because we have Logan Cusson on the show tonight, and he's racing in the US F4 championship right now in the United States F4, and really excited to talk to him. He's going to come on here in about a half hour. But we have our first guest right now ready to join the show. Jonathan, why don't you introduce him because you know him better than myself.
Yeah. In fact, I spent a lot of time with him, poor man, because he races
God
in
bless
both,
you, sir.
He races in both SVRA. He's been a champion in Group 6 many a time and probably he's going to nail it again this year. But more recently, he's joined TA2, which is the big boy racing. And we actually met over the Sim Trans Am racing where he was also a sort of a hidden star of that, which was fun. Or some good fun stories. And that's where we first met over a Zoom thing where he showed me around his collection and stuff like that. So I was impressed that he'd gone from SVRA to Trans Am. That was how I knew him. And all the other drivers were going, this guy's really coming on. But he's got quite a background of other things as well. But anyway, he can speak for himself. We'll be in action with him doing his race. And I say his race because he's racing in Trans Am in Nashville, but he's also helping put the event together with Justin Marks and in his hometown. So I wanted him on this week because I know he's probably giddy with excitement.
Oh, well, you know, John's probably giddy on him. He was out flailing around in a C3 here in the Trans Am races. Mr. Corvette
fan, absolutely. Oh, wait till you see that Corvette. It's awesome.
I know. Well, Scott Borchetta, welcome to Speed City. We're excited to have you.
It's great to be here. And, yeah, the whole town is a buzz. I'm getting calls and emails and texts going, we need tickets. I'm like, where were you 6 months ago when you could have done something about it? So Nashville is a buzz. I heard from some of my friends at Penske today. They're saying, hey, what restaurant should we go? I said, you better make a reservation right now if you want anything during race week. So it is so on, and I can't wait for everybody to get to our hometown.
Well, this thing has such a buzz about it in IndyCar that we're really outside all over motorsports, but I mean, everybody that's in IndyCar has been talking about the Music City Grand Prix, and I mean, this is a huge event, putting it on in a new place with a new circuit. This is crazy.
Yeah, you know, Nashville has become one of the party towns over the last 10 years. So giving people an excuse to come here is it's pretty easy. So, you know, a lot of people are going to come and won't even see the race. They're going to be here partying their brains out. But we have a lot of motorsports fans here. And really kind of out of nowhere this year, Nashville went from 0 to 200 miles an hour. And we have NASCAR back. We've got the Music City Grand Prix. We have a lot of racing happening at the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway. So it's really great to have Major League Auto Racing back here in Nashville.
Yeah, no kidding. Absolutely. It must be a sort of boyhood dream of yours to do this, to connect the two, as it were, your two passions, obviously music and motor racing. And obviously, I know more about the motor racing than anything. And I've watched you grow in the short time that I've been part of Trans Am and get into TA2. You really look to be enjoy. Of all the drivers I know, you really look to enjoy every drive.
Yeah, I mean, every time I get in the car, it's like, all right, let's go. It's been a lifelong passion, and we just love doing it so much. And, you know, this year in TA2, especially, to, you know, we had a goal to start attacking that top five, and we're there. So we've found speed, and our consistency has been a little bit off this year. We've had a couple issues happen, but, you know, it's really been a blast. And Jonathan, absolutely. I wish I didn't love it so much.
No, you don't. You can't even say that without smiling. I know that's not true. But hey, give us a little background into how you got here in your motorsports life.
Well, my very first race was the 1970 California 500. And, you know, seeing Al Unser and Bobby Unser and AJ Foyt and Mario Andretti, they were heroes for life. And one of the helmets, you see some helmets in the background. I actually have a helmet that was James Garner's gifted helmet from 1970 that all of the drivers signed.
Oh, and, wow.
You know, so I've become friends with his daughter, Gigi Garner, and I have a James Garner suit, et cetera. But there are so many interesting things. Jonathan has seen my IndyCar collection on Zoom, and the 1967 Eagle that I will be driving on the streets of Nashville prior to the IndyCar race. Yeah. It was the first Bobby Unser winner. It's a 1967 AAR Eagle. And he first won in that car at Mossport in 1967. And he won the owner's championship in that car at Riverside. He won the driver's championship in that car in 68 at Riverside. Has a huge history. And so that car is going to make some laps at the Music City Grand Prix.
Folks, that's the generation that was like the little torpedo cigar. They were so cool looking and fast, yeah. The little open mouth on it.
Well, I'm wearing another connection I've got with Scott, which is the Johnny Lightning hat, because we started talking about the lightning bolts on his car. And I mean, I knew the history once I got the hat, but I liked it because it said Johnny Lightning. And I was like, that suits me. Then, of course, I realized it was Al Unser. And then I realized I'd spent, I didn't know Al, although I got his autograph once on a plane, which was very embarrassing for both him and me, because I'm not usually that giddy, but I got it. But I spent I spent the day with Bobby Unser at the Indy 500, may he rest in peace, because he has recently passed away. But, Scott, yeah, tell us about the Al Unser lightning bolts, which you've kept till today.
Yeah, you know, there's still a lightning bolt in my race logo. And, you know, seeing that car at such a young age, it just imprinted on me. I still think it's the coolest livery that's ever been on an Indy car. And, you know, having the good fortune to know Bobby very well in his last several years and getting to know Al better these last couple of years, you know, getting to know your heroes and being able to share stories with them. And, you know, Bobby would come to the 500 because we take those cars. I have the 1972 Eagle 01. It's the car that broke every track record in 1972. It's the first year that they had attached wings. And so we would take those cars to Indy because they would let us do the historic laps on Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Bobby would come sit on the right rear tire and just tell stories.
Hold court, yeah.
And before you knew it, there were 25 people sitting around. He just loved to hold court, and I miss him a lot. I got to speak at his funeral, which was really an honor.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have all the Bobby Unser decals on all of my race cars. And, you know, the most important thing that we can do for all of our heroes is what we're doing right now. Talk about them and remember them and honor them with the great accomplishments and stories and just crazy personalities that they were.
Hey, we were talking about having you on the show tonight, and I was talking to Jonathan. I said, you know, it kind of reminds me what you guys are doing at the Music City Grand Prix for IndyCar is kind of reminds me what Coda has done with music here with the Formula One Grand Prix, because once they started with Taylor Swift, and that was kind of the biggest one for Austin.
Stevie Wonder.
Well, I know, but Taylor Swift, Bruno Mars.
There
were massive numbers, right? But with Taylor Swift, it was like the light bulb went off with everybody, like, wow, we can draw an extra 50, 60, 70,000 people for one music artist.
Scott's met her.
I know y'all have some history, but.
With Coda in general, we've been friends with them since the beginning of that racetrack. And we've always helped them with their music conversations. And that was the first time they really doubled down. Because there's no shortcuts. When you're going to go get superstar talent, you're going to pay a lot of money for it. And they called and said, what do you think? It's like, if you don't try it now, you never will. And she's going to draw. And here's what happens. And I've been working on this for 25 years. Everybody doesn't love motorsports. That's okay. But the amount of people that you're going to expose to it who had never seen it before, we're going to get some of those people. We're going to win some of them over.
Yeah.
So the more times we can expose this great sport to more people, we're just going to grow. So Coda's done a fantastic job. They've doubled down and they bring world-class talent to Coda. And I think it benefits everybody.
Well, Scott, we know you as a race car driver, but your background is in music, and you and Taylor Swift, you know, you what discovered her? I think it's kind of the way you think about it, but I know I want to tell our listeners, they know you as a race car driver too, but I know you have this other pretty good career going on.
That
in
paying
music
job
too.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always say that we work so we can race. But yeah, I met Taylor when she was 14 years old, and we were together for 15 years and had an incredible historic run and records that we set that will probably never be broken. You know, she's the only artist in the history of music to sell more than 1 million units of a new CD or album first week, three times in a row. And Big Machine is the only label that's ever done that.
Wow.
So we had extraordinary success, and you know, it was life-changing for both of us. And we had so much fun together while we were together. So, you know, nothing but love and praise for her. And she's an incredible person and, you know, incredible artist. And, you know, she's going to continue for a long time.
I got to talk about John Massengill and my connection to Taylor Swift. You know, whatever, Jonathan.
I have one. I didn't know that.
Yeah, we do. Now remember this. Okay, now Scott's going to like this. So early in the Speed City days, one of our advertisers was the Rolls-Royce Bentley Aston Martin Lotus dealer. And he calls John and I up and he goes, hey, we're going on a British invasion to the Hill Country and we're going for barbecue on Sunday or Saturday, whatever it was. Come with us. All right. So we go to the dealership. We get in this amazing new limited production Ice Speed Racer Continental.
Twin turbo V12.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. And we go ripping off. We verified its performance capabilities.
Yes.
Get back.
Well done.
about 2 months later, the dealership owner, Sonny, we're talking, doing business. And he goes, hey, you know the High Speed Racer. Yeah. That was a great car. And he goes, sold it. Didn't know who I sold it to, but we shipped it up north. Really? How'd that happen? Oh, they called me and asked for number 13. Okay. Yeah, I got it here. And they sent it up there. Later on, we find it's Taylor Swift.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
I got a question, Scott, and I've asked you this before, but I'd love you to share it with our audience. When you're at these award ceremonies or, you know, music events, I'm sure you get asked loads of music questions and it's really boring because you're a motorsport guy. So who in the music industry comes rushing over to you and goes, let's talk about this or this? Who talks racing
Who's
with you?
Who's the car guys?
Yeah, who the car guys?
And gals.
Keith Urban, huge car guy. He lives right around the corner. We go driving together a couple times a year.
He just took delivery of the new McLaren, I think.
Hmm. Yeah, what he does is he has one supercar at a time and every two or three years flips it and goes on to the next one.
Probably gets
and
then, 30.
Yeah. Cause I mean, for me, I like having multiple cars. I'm kind of out of control, but I think Nicole only lets him have one at a time.
Yeah. I think I know who's where. Yeah. That makes
sense.
And
then the other one is Brad Paisley. Brad Paisley is a huge car guy.
Cool.
You know, he's a Corvette guy. He actually had this Rick Hendrick Corvette that had 750 horsepower. And we went driving one day and I drove it and we're on the interstate. And I said, can we go? He goes, go. We were in third gear and I stepped on the gas. We were doing 70 miles an hour and it burned rubber going into fourth gear. The thing was so crazy fast. And so Brad's a big car guy as well. He's friends with, you know, a lot of drivers, Jeff Gordon. It was in one of his videos, I think Dale Jr. as well. So those two in particular are huge car guys.
Hey, Scott, I want to ask you a question. We need to take a quick break, but when we come back, I want to ask Scott about putting together a street circuit in a town like Nashville, because this is crazy. So, all right, we're going to be back after a quick break and listen to Speed City live from Austin.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers. The best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
Winding Road Racing is your first and best choice for all the essentials for a great weekend at the track. We're racers, and we love helping racers. With a full selection of racing gear in stock, get geared up with all the safety equipment needed to meet all the latest Snell FIA and SFI regulations. Outfit your car with a comprehensive lineup of racing necessities, and when you need to find a few more tents, turn to data acquisition systems from AIM Sports, V-Box, and others. Austin-based with shops in California, Georgia, and Kentucky, the source for all your racing needs. Winding Road Racing, WindingRoadRacing.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Talk 1370, the right choice.
Every day is a winding road. I get a little bit closer. Every day is a faded sign.
Hey, this is Tony Stewart, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to the show. Our guest is Scott Borchetta. And Scott's a race car driver and CEO of Big Machine, and he's getting ready to have a huge event, the Music City Grand Prix. And Scott, I got to ask you about putting this thing together. And, you know, we've here in Austin, we watch Circuit of the Americas get built from ground zero, but building a street course is a whole different animal with lots of different challenges. That's got to be, I don't know how much you're involved in all the different parts and pieces, but it's you got to know what's going on. It's got to be crazy, right?
Yeah, you know, it started off with this idea started 15 years ago with Joe Mattioli of the Mattioli family that owned Pocono. And, you know, it never got a lot of traction, but the conversation kept going. And then Matt Cruz, who's the president of the Music City Grand Prix organization, he and I got together probably a little over 3 years ago. And I said, if you can do this, Matt, I'm in. If it helps you to say Big Machine is in, tell people that Big Machine are in. But the concept that he had that was brilliant is we're not going to ask the city for any money. We're going to get an owners group together and we're going to pay for the race ourselves and get the city support. So when we took this, got everything together and took it to the mayor, the mayor's like, are you kidding me? You know, what do I have to do? Well, you have to give us a bunch of permits and you've got to give us access. There are things you have to give us, but we're picking up the load here and we're going to bring on a world-class event. So the next thing was the Titans. Titan Stadium is critical to what we're doing, Nissan Stadium. So you're going to see a lot of Nissan Stadium in what we do. Some of our best suites are actually part of the stadium looking outward.
That's smart. Yeah.
The finish line is right in front of the main entrance at Titan Stadium. So, you know, if you can imagine, I don't know if you've seen the track map.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
we'll fly by the main entrance. Then there's a hard left chicane, a right, a slow left, and then right across the bridge. And that we're going to be flying across that bridge. Then there's a hard left, a hard right. And I'm telling you, only one car is going to be able to get through this right. And then there's 90-degree turns. We come back and a hard right back across the bridge. And this is the high speed part of the track. We're going to be flying because there's a nice little hill over the bridge and keeps going down. And then there's going to be a lot of compression as we come back up the hill for that left. And that left turn is going to have us parallel with the interstate, then two more 90s and you're back in front of at the finish line. So, you know, we've thought about it a lot, and you know, to race through the streets of Nashville is a dream come true. And we believe that there's not another race that has ever run over a body of water. So we think this is the first time. Wow. Obviously, Monaco is right on the edge, but racing across it, we don't think that's been done before.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm going to be doing the Trans Am commentary. And in fact, Scott will be, well, he's doing the demonstration in the Eagle, but he's definitely racing, am I right, in the 48 in TA2.
Saturday.
Yeah, looking forward to that. And I know he missed his favorite race at Brainerd the other week. So he's going to be on tenterhooks, both because it's at home and because he hasn't raced for a couple of weeks, right?
Yeah, we might be sneaking some testing in this week.
Yeah, late at night.
And the thing about this track, obviously, nobody's had any track time on it. So we're going to have to be really smart, really fast, keep it off those. You know, there's a few runoff places, but there's going to be some cars that don't make it to the race. It's going to be so tight. So I want to make sure I'm not one of those.
And I think it's going to be a pivotal IndyCar race too, because there's so much going on in IndyCar right now, and there's so much talent, a lot of which is great round street circuits, you know, like St. Pete and Long Beach. You know, Dixon's going to be up there. Pat O'Ward will be up there. I think it's going to really, you know, because of the no data factor, it's going to be interesting.
Newgarden is a Nashvillian, and he's put on a good show. So, yeah, I mean, the IndyCar class, these young guys coming up are just incredibly talented. And it also highlights how great Dixon is, that he's hanging with these young guys.
Yeah.
So, because you look at some of the other veterans and they can't hang. So what Scott Dixon's doing is incredible. But to watch Pato and some of these other guys, man, it's so much fun because they're so good.
It's so exciting watching these young drivers, Colton Herta and Pato. I mean, yeah. IndyCar right now, I mean, it really feels like it's on the verge of a whole shift to all these new young drivers. I mean, yeah, you've got in between there, like Rossi and Newgarden and stuff, but it's really exciting to watch right now.
Scott's go ahead.
You know, I love the fact that Zach Brown's made such a commitment with McLaren. You know, what they're doing, I think, is so smart. And I want to see other manufacturers follow their lead and have a real sports car that you can tie back to your IndyCar racing and your Formula One racing. So, you know, hopefully it's a message to Mercedes and to Alpha and some of these others that they need to be in IndyCar, get back in IndyCar and make this field even more incredible and more diverse.
Well, I also love where you guys are on the schedule, because we've got the summer break with the Olympics and everything with NBC and everything, but you guys, everybody's just frothing for some more IndyCar racing, and your guys are coming right out of that break. So I bet you that the ticket sales are going to be good. I bet you the ratings will be good. So it's a good spot to be.
Yeah, the ticket sales are great. We're probably going to sell out on Sunday the way it looks right now. So I see that you're showing a race map. So that really highlights, it looks like the Big Dipper when you put it like this.
There you go.
There you go.
So yeah. So if you see right there in front of the stadium, that hard left chicane, that's going to be a little bit of calamity right there, I'm telling you. And then that right slow left. And then if you look and you know, you come across the bridge, like I was talking about, go across the river. And then if you'll go up a little bit, that left hander, we're going to have, if you see that, we're going down the hill there, and the braking is going to be critical here. You're going to have to make sure you're braking straight and getting this thing wowed over and back over to the right to make this left. And then that next right turn, I'm telling you, only one car can fit through there. Anybody tries to pass right there, it's going to be a mess. So this other 90, you can carry a little bit more speed through there. This other one that's about 110, you know, you're going to have to go way down. And then when you get back to get to, you're going to have to put a dead stop on the car and get that right hander, but you're going to have to come off that right hander really clean and fast, because this is going to be your best passing zone as we go back across the bridge. And if you go down a little further, when we get to just past, you can't see it, but there's a stoplight there. And I'm guessing for TA2, there's a crosswalk that's probably going to be our brake zone. And so you're going to see a lot of passing right there going into that turn. And there is a runoff area, fortunately, right there, if you need to go straight. But I think that's going to be your major passing zone right there.
Man, this
so
is
get
this
a great
is,
launch, and then be really smart in your braking.
This
you go
is
back
looking
up
like,
hill
a,
there.
Like a future classic, man. I love this layout. Do you guys... What about the long term? I mean, I haven't looked at the contract. Is this race going to happen more than once?
Oh yeah, we have 3 years solid with a 2 year option, awesome. And you know, we hope this is the Long Beach Grand Prix. You know, it's a great town, and like Long Beach, which was not a very nice place when the race started. You know, the city kind of grew up around the Grand Prix. You're coming to a party town in its zenith right now.
Yeah.
So the fact that everything is built in, all the great hotels are there, all the great restaurants. It's a plug and play. I think this is going to be one of the crown jewels of IndyCar for a long time to come.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and it makes me think about, I hope the guys in Miami are watching.
Because I
do really think that the way Indy goes about its racing, and knowing Scott as I do, I know it's going to, you know, nothing will be left undone. And I think, I hope that they get some inspiration, because obviously we cover Formula One very closely, and I know you follow it too. But it's a huge challenge to put on a street circuit.
I'm going to say six times we're here, Jonathan, say mayhem.
Mayhem, yeah.
In any given race.
No, our TA2 boys know what they're doing. Yeah.
Well, Scott Borchetta, we are up against a break. We do have our next guest, Logan Cusson. Jonathan, I don't know if you guys talked, if you want to stick with us through the break, or if you need to go, we totally understand.
Yeah, thanks for having me tonight. I'm excited to see everybody. Is everybody coming to Nashville?
I think we should.
Absolutely.
You got floor space, right? Couch?
Yeah, come on. So thanks for having me tonight, and I can't wait to see you here in Nashville.
All right.
Thanks, Scott.
Scott Borchetta, thank you for coming on the show. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Take care.
Oh, that's going to be a fun week.
That is going to be a blast, man. All right. Well, let's go to break. And when we come back, we have our next guest, young driver Logan Cusson, racing in the US F4 series. You're listening to Speed City, live from Austin, back after these messages.
I am an official Texas license plate from MyPlates.com, and I'm here to say it's time to get personal, people. Tell the world who you are with a personalized plate from MyPlates.com, like me. I'm talking favorite color, favorite team, favorite charity, and, of course, favorite state, Texas. Add your own message, and then the magic really happens. I'm the official Texas license plate from MyPlates.com, and I want to be your license plate. Go to MyPlates.com and order me today. Now that's what I'm talking about.
When you're looking for traditional Tex-Mex, look no further than an Austin favorite, One in a Million. Serving original family recipes since 1980 and located just minutes from downtown at 2300 East Cesar Chavez, One in a Million has your Tex-Mex fix every day of the week from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Breakfast is served all day. Homemade migas, enchiladas, and menudo. And try the Don Juan taco. Some say it's big enough to feed a family of four. One in a Million. Online at oneinamillion.com.
Talk 13.7, the right choice.
Hi, this is Max Verstappen, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to the show. While we wait on our guests, let's sneak in a couple of Formula One stories, because there has been some rumors. We all know that the big rumor is, of course, George Russell moving to the Mercedes team, and leaving no chair in the game for Valtteri Bottas. And apparently Bottas was hanging out with the Alfa Romeo team.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Raikkonen's what, 93 now?
Yeah, so that was probably the biggest rumor.
Leave me alone.
Yeah, hey, real quick, Les, we have our guest, but you, I want to get this story in tonight because Jay Leno is nominated to the Automotive Hall of Fame, right?
Absolutely.
That's cool, right?
I think that's really cool. He's done a lot for people learning the history and kind of maintaining, purveyors or whatever you want to call it, somebody that takes care of these historic cars and helps educate with them. He's a big proponent and supporter of McPherson College up in Kansas, which teaches, they have a college curriculum on teaching the craftsman trade of working on classic cars.
And of course, they manufacture the McPherson struts there at McPherson College.
I think that's the dance team.
The struts.
John, that was quick.
That was very
Les,
quick.
Les, winner tonight. We'll give you two free tickets for dinner with Les Kaiser.
Two drink minimum.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and go to our next guest. Jonathan, why don't you introduce this young race driver?
Well, this young race driver and commentator, I may add, is racing in FR Americas, and he's been around the scene for a while. He's from Canada. His name is Logan Cousin, and he's kind of like a leading driver in a group of Canadians that seem to have stormed the border and come to America to take advantage of what are two great series, the F4 Americas series and the FR series, or Formula Regional Americas series, which effectively, for those less understanding, is the equivalent of FIA F3.
Do you understand, Les?
I'm stuck on struts.
Anyway, Logan Cousin, welcome to Speed City.
Thanks for having me.
Not at all. Ah, no, look, he's got the sim. He's got the helmet. Is that a Bottas helmet in the background?
No, that's mine.
Oh, okay, good.
One's faster.
I'm just a wannabe.
You're just nothing wrong with being a wannabe. Logan, we talked last week, and I know all about your career, but why don't you tell us a little bit about how you got to where you are at the moment and where you started?
I started when I was 14 in just go-karts in Canada. No one in my family has been a race car driver, or we've even been into racing. Just sort of got connected through a family friend to arrive and drive karting, and fell in love with it, bought a kart, karted for 4 years, was Team Canada for World Finals in 2018 in Portugal. That was fun. Then moved up to 1600 in Canada, did decent in that, moved to F4, won a Californian championship, and then I've been an FR for the past 3 years now.
Mm. Did you ever race F4 COTA?
No, I never got the chance to, sadly.
Yeah. But anyway, we were talking, group of Canadians now, including yourself, but we had, three on the podium in F4 last week?
Wow.
Yeah.
What gives? What are you feeding them up there?
Yeah, it's an invasion.
Yeah.
But seriously, obviously, I think the serious point is the Canadians are now finding an outlet that is beyond Canada. And I don't mean there's anything wrong with Canadian racing, but racing in America, the exposure and so on. And obviously, the talent is there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if anyone has, or if any Canadian driver has any aspirations of going to a bigger class like IndyCar, formula-wise, then you kind of have to go to the States, which is sort of the sad reality. I think more and more talent's been breeding in Canada the past couple of years, and they're starting to finally trickle through, which is exciting to see.
Hey, Logan, I got to ask you about the rig you've got, gaming, Twitch, because I know
that's
I can
what it
hear,
looks like, yeah.
Well, not only does it look like it, but I can hear it. I think I hear a GTX 3080 or some triple fan GPU going in the background.
That actually just might be my fan.
You should have rolled with it, dude.
There we go. I should have rolled the punches. You're right.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah.
Logan,
yeah.
You don't know what you're dealing with here. This nerd opposite me knows the sound of your fan. How scary is that?
I mean, the fact that I've got the AC right behind me and he went straight for a GTX, that says something. That definitely does say something.
John, I bow once again. Les is funnier than hell, and you're just a nerd from hell.
Well, do you have a pretty cool rig going on there?
It's okay. It's a 1080 Ti.
Yeah, that's not bad.
It's nothing insane, but it's good. Yeah.
Could you translate that for us humans?
That's the 1080 Ti is kind of the best of the last generation. My son actually has a 1080 Ti.
Does he?
Yeah.
Where does he drive it?
He drives it
in his bedroom.
All over the worldwide internet.
So are you a big, obviously you are, but do you do it seriously or is it just to learn and stay sharp?
It's for fun and it's for learning tracks. I'll be honest with you. I'm not good at simulators. I drive by my pants, if you know what I mean. Like, yeah. I really need to feel the car. And
that's what I've been doing wrong.
If for some reason, just simulators, I can't get the hang of them, no matter how hard I try.
Jonathan, that's different. People won't let you in their car.
That's it. Well, yeah. Well, I've got to put my pants back on.
That's part of the reason.
Yeah, not that kind of feel of the car.
Hey, serious subject. Let's talk about FR. I'm excited because it feels to me we've had Kirkwood, we've had Dakota, and now we've got your era, and I know you were part of that era too. But the stakes have gone up. Honda have really stepped up, and maybe you can talk more cleverly about the subject, but Honda have basically stepped up and said that they will give a scholarship to get a Super Formula drive if you can win the championship.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's huge. Cause that's a branch historically to both IndyCar and the Formula One. There's been people that have moved up from Super Formula to both of those series. I think Alex Palou came from that series to IndyCar. Like it's really a catch-all.
Yep.
Yeah, Pato Award also came from that. It's a very important series for a lot of us. We're definitely all fighting our hardest to get in a seat of that.
So I guess if you won, you'd take it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't turn it down, I don't think. Yeah.
How are you feeling about the season?
I've had a long string of mechanical gremlins that really no one could have caught. Stuff like the master switch failing. Who checks the master switch? That happened in the last race. My first race, my car shut down like four laps to go.
That's what Lewis Hamilton did. Remember?
Black. Yeah. So
it was the switch on the wheel.
Yeah, he turned off the motor, right? Was that Hamilton?
Yeah.
So when I'm not on the side of the road, I think I'm doing pretty good. I feel really good. TJ Speed's been keeping the car really fast. Not have the luck, sadly, which again is not a thing that they could have caught. Every problem we've had has just been some insane gremlin that shouldn't be checked, really. So good considering. I think I'm sixth in the championship and like 13 points off third, and that's very, very workable.
That's very doable.
That's great considering if you're saying you've had all this trouble. So yeah. Well, you know, when the USF4, when did it start back? When did this they go to this USF4 series? About 4 years ago, five years ago?
5 years ago. Well, F3 was a little behind F4. FR was a little
That's
behind.
Right, yeah. And but to me, this seems like a really well-organized and getting more prestigious around the world. Would you agree with that, Logan?
Yeah, I think it's getting more and more traction as we go along year by year. As someone who's been in it for 3 years now, we're getting more drivers, getting a lot more attention. We're starting to get broadcasted now. Mm-hmm. It's really starting to pick up, and it's really exciting to see.
What's the plan for you? I mean, obviously you would be hunting for that Honda deal, but what other plans, if any, have you got?
I mean, sadly, I think with two more races to go, I don't even think a miracle could save me for winning the championship. I am still setting my sights on IndyCar, so I think the next step would be to try and sit myself into an Indy Lights and test maybe, and see what that would look like for next year.
Very cool. I got to ask you, as a Canadian, what's the Canadian racing feel for Stroll? Daddy Stroll and younger Stroll, because you know the weird thing is he's not really. I mean, he's hardly spent any time in Canada, but of course, you know, you're very much aware of it, and we are. What's your personal view, and what is the Canadian racing view of the Strolls?
I'd say the general view is probably pretty mixed. Some people are maybe a little averse to how he got initiated into F1. I'm not going to lie, at first I was too. But I think he's really proven himself.
Yeah.
I think when he first got in, you know, he hadn't had a lot of time in the car. Money got him in. We all know.
Yeah.
But I think he's really come into his own. He's really, I mean, he's gotten a couple podiums now, and he's just genuinely not slow anymore. And I actually think I'm becoming a bit of a fan.
You know, the irony is I did Jack Villeneuve's career, and there were same sort of stories came out, not so much the wealth, because I mean, he was wealthy, but not in any way like Stroll. And of course, things were different back then. But everybody said, oh, the only reason Jack Villeneuve got picked up was because of his father's name. And, right. You know, he then turned around, won the Indy Championship, won the 500, and won the World Championship in Formula One against the toughest guys in the world. Job done. And I think, right. You know, when it comes to Stroll, I'm like you, Logan. I at first was like, and I heard all the stories. He bought his way to Formula One. He didn't. He won every championship he's ever entered. And I think he's kicking butt in Formula One.
I mean, you can't go to Formula One and not be incredibly amazing without standing out like a sore thumb, you know?
Right.
So he hasn't been perfect, but he's, you know, I think he's earned the right to have that seat. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Okay. Absolutely. Hold on. Hold on.
Uh-oh.
Hold on.
Les is going to speak,
time
Logan.
Out, time out here.
Stand by.
He's going to strut.
Turn your fan off.
Are we going to say the thing about...
Sorry, Les.
Mick Jagger is who I instantly thought of there. But anyway, are we going to say the same thing about Mazespin?
Mazespin.
Mazespin. That's too early to say that, too early to have that conversation, but
he's definitely in the first stage of Stroll's career right now.
Yeah.
Although I don't think Stroll had it quite as bad as Mazepin does right now. But you know, I hope that he can get himself out of that.
You know, I take that back. I said, I was only going to call him Mazespin on the weekends he spins. He hasn't spun this weekend. So.
That's true. Well, not that we know of.
Not since he got his present. Not since he got his twirler from Gunther.
Yeah.
He gave back to Gunther. Yeah.
Hey, we got another question. Netflix has been huge for American fans in terms of knowledge of motorsport and especially Formula One. Is that true of Canada too?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know. Everyone I talk to around here, even people who weren't fans of racing, constantly ask me because they know I'm a race car driver. They're like, have you watched Drive to Survive? And it's like, yeah, I've watched Drive to Survive. Everyone has.
I can beat those guys.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I should be on that show. Talk about me.
I think you should. I hadn't thought about, you know, I've thought of as Drive to Survive is only promoting Formula One, but I hadn't even thought about.
Yeah, it helps all motor racing.
All motor racing, mm-hmm. especially if your motor racing has a F3, F something in there, just like USF 3, F4. And
or turns right.
Or turns both directions. That's true. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, I mean, I also think that people who come out from outside of the sport for the first time have no idea the athletic performance, ability, mental strain and pressure that this involves to do, motor racing that is, and the fight or flight kind of situation you are in every practice session. I mean, it ain't no joke. You get it wrong and, you know, as we were hearing about Nashville earlier, you know, you're going into a wall and, ask another Canadian, Hinchcliffe or any others. There's you know, you can get involved in some pretty nasty shaves if you get it wrong.
Hey, Logan, I watched Connor Daly when he was all wired up for heart rate and everything. Mm-hmm. And I could not believe his heart rate during a race. I mean, it was averaging like 140, 151. I can't even remember. It was so high. That, I mean, you had to be as young as he is to even have that heart rate. I think maybe he was even averaging like 170. Do you guys do anything like that? I mean, even as simple as like an Apple Watch or whatever.
Yeah, no, I've never worn any way of tracking that in the car. It'd be really interesting to see. It's not something that you feel in the car. You won't feel your heart pounding. You're too focused to feel that. You only come out of the car and then realize what you're feeling really is what happens. There's been times where I've finished a race, drove all the way to scales. And then the minute I get out, I'm like, I did not realize how lightheaded I was. Like I was hot in that car.
Yeah.
So no, I've never tried.
But that's
that
the fight and flight thing, isn't it? Your body and brain says, okay, I got to do this under this pressure because I'm being pushed to do my body is being pushed to do this. So the brain takes over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a heck of a sport. We got to talk to you about Formula One. We've talked to you about Stroll, but what are your thoughts? We were just talking about Bottas. Should he stay or should he go now? What do you think?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Talk 13-7, the right choice.
Hi, this is Max Steffen, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to the show. While we wait on our guests, let's sneak in a couple of Formula One stories, because there has been some rumors. We all know that the big rumor is, of course, George Russell moving to the Mercedes team and leaving no chair in the game for Valtteri Bottas. And apparently Bottas was hanging out with the Alfa Romeo team.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Raikkonen's what, 93 now?
Yeah, so that was probably the biggest rumor.
Leave me alone.
Yeah, hey, real quick, Les, we have our guest, but I want to get this story in tonight because Jay Leno is nominated to the Automotive Hall of Fame, right?
Absolutely.
That's cool, right?
I think that's really cool. He's done a lot for people learning the history and kind of maintaining, purveyors or whatever you want to call it, somebody that takes care of these historic cars and helps educate with them. He's a big proponent and supporter of McPherson College up in Kansas, which teaches, they have a college curriculum on teaching the craftsman trade of working on classic cars.
And of course, they manufacture the McPherson struts there at McPherson College.
I think that's the dance team.
The struts.
John, that was quick.
That was very
that was
quick.
Good.
That was very
Les,
quick.
Les, winner tonight. We'll give you 2 free tickets for dinner with Les Kaiser.
2 drink minimum.
All right. Well, let's let's go ahead and go to our next guest. Jonathan, why don't you introduce this young race driver?
Well, this young race driver and commentator, I may add, is racing in FR Americas, and he's been around the scene for a while. He's from Canada. His name is Logan Cousson, and he's kind of like a leading driver in a group of Canadians that seem to have stormed the border and come to America to take advantage of what are 2 great series, the F4 Americas series and the FR series, or Formula Regional Americas series, which effectively, for those less understanding, is the equivalent of FIA F3.
Do you understand, Les?
I'm stuck on struts.
Anyway, Logan Cousson, welcome to Speed City.
Thanks for having me.
Not at all. Ah, no, look, he's got the sim, he's got the helmet. Is that a Bottas helmet in the background?
No, that's mine.
Oh, okay, good.
That one's faster.
I'm just a wannabe.
Nothing wrong with being a wannabe. Logan, we talked, last week, and I know all about your career, but why don't you tell us a little bit about how you got to where you are at the moment and where you started?
I started when I was 14 in just go-karts in Canada. No one in my family has been a race car driver, or we've even been into racing. Just sort of got connected through a family friend to arrive and drive karting, and fell in love with it, bought a kart, karted for 4 years, was Team Canada for World Finals in 2018 in Portugal. That was fun. Then moved up to 1600 in Canada, did decent in that, moved to F4, won a Californian championship, and then I've been in FR for the past 3 years now.
Mm. Did you ever race F4 COTA?
No, I never got the chance to, sadly.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, we were talking, group of Canadians now, including yourself, but we had, what, three on the podium in F4 last week?
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
What gives? What are you feeding them up there?
Yeah, it's an invasion.
Yeah.
But seriously, yeah, I mean, obviously, I think the serious point is the Canadians are now finding an outlet that is beyond Canada. And I don't mean there's anything wrong with Canadian racing, but racing in America, the exposure and so on. And obviously, the talent is there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if anyone has or if any Canadian driver has any aspirations of going to a bigger class like IndyCar formula wise, then you kind of have to go to the States, which is sort of the sad for us, the sad reality. But yeah, I think more and more talent's been breeding in Canada the past couple of years, and they're starting to finally trickle through, which is exciting to see.
Hey, Logan, I got to ask you about the rig you've got, gaming, Twitch, because I know
that's
I can hear.
That's what it
hear,
looks like, yeah.
Well, not only does it look like, but I can hear it. I think I hear a GTX 3080 or some triple fan GPU going in the background.
That actually just might be my fan.
Darn it, you should have rolled with it, dude.
There we go. I should have rolled with the punches. You're right.
Yeah. Whoa.
Oh, yeah.
Logan,
yeah.
You don't know what you're doing with here. This nerd opposite me knows the sound of your fan. How scary is that?
I mean, the fact that I've got the AC right behind me and he went straight for a GTX, that says something. That definitely does say something.
John, I bow once again. Les is funnier than hell, and you're just a nerd. From hell.
Well, do you have a pretty cool rig going on there?
It's okay. It's a 1080 Ti.
Yeah, that's not bad.
It's nothing insane, but it's good. Yeah.
Could you translate that for us humans?
That's the 1080 Ti is kind of the best of the last generation. My son actually has a 1080 Ti.
Does he?
Yeah.
Where does he drive it?
He drives it
in his bedroom.
All over the Volkswagen, right? All over the worldwide internet.
So are you a big obviously you are, but do you do it seriously, or is it just to learn and stay sharp?
It's for fun and it's for learning tracks. I'll be honest with you, I'm not good at simulators. I drive by my pants, if you know what I mean. Like, yeah. I really need to feel the car, and
that's what I've been doing
if for some reason just simulators, like, I can't get the hang of them, no matter how hard I try.
Jonathan, that's different. People won't let you in their car.
That's it. Well, yeah. Well, I've got to put my pants back on. That's part
of the reason.
Yeah, not that kind of feel of the car.
Hey, serious subject. Let's talk about FR. I'm excited because it feels to me we've had Kirkwood, we've had Dakota, and now we've got your era, and I know you were part of that era too. But the stakes have gone up. Honda have really stepped up, and maybe you can talk more cleverly about the subject, but Honda have basically stepped up and said that they will give a scholarship to get a Super Formula drive if you can win the championship.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's huge. Because that's a branch historically to both IndyCar and the Formula One. There's been people that have moved up from Super Formula to both of those series. I think Alex Palou came from that series to IndyCar. Like, it's really a catch-all.
Yep.
Yeah, Pato Award also came from that. It's a very important series for a lot of us. We're definitely all fighting our hardest to get in a seat of that.
So I guess if you won, you'd take it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't turn it down, I don't think. Yeah.
How are you feeling about the season?
I've had a long string of mechanical gremlins that really no one could have caught. Stuff like the master switch failing. And who checks the master switch? That's what that happened at the last race. My first race, my car shut down like four laps to go.
That's what Lewis Hamilton did. Remember?
Black. Yeah. So
it was the switch on the wheel.
Yeah, he turned off the motor, right? Was that Hamilton?
Yeah.
So when I'm not on the side of the road, I think I'm doing pretty good. I feel really good. TJ Speed's been keeping the car really fast. Not had the luck, sadly, which again is not a thing that they could have caught. Every problem we've had has just been some insane gremlin that shouldn't be checked, really. So good considering. I think I'm sixth in the championship and like 13 points off third, and that's very, very workable.
That's very doable.
That's great considering if you're saying you've had all this trouble. So yeah. Well, you know, when did this start back? When did they they go to this USF4 series about 4 years ago, five years ago?
5 years ago. Well, F3 was a little behind F4. FR was a little behind.
Yeah. And but to me, this seems like a really well-organized and getting more prestigious around the world. Would you agree with that, Logan?
Yeah, I think it's getting more and more traction as we go along year by year. As someone who's been in it for 3 years now, we're getting more drivers, getting a lot more attention. We're starting to get broadcasted now. Mm-hmm. It's really starting to pick up, and it's really exciting to see.
What's the plan for you? I mean, obviously, you would be hunting for that Honda deal, but what other plans, if any, have you got?
I mean, sadly, I think with two more races to go, I don't even think a miracle could save me for winning the championship. But I am still setting my sights on IndyCar, so I think the next step would be to try and sit myself into an Indy Lights and test maybe. Mm-hmm. And see what that would look like for next year.
Very cool. I got to ask you, as a Canadian, what's the Canadian racing feel for Stroll? Daddy Stroll and younger Stroll. Yeah. Because, you know, the weird thing is he's not really, I mean, he's hardly spent any time in Canada, but of course, you know, you're very much aware of him. We are. What's your personal view, and what is the Canadian racing view of the Strolls?
I'd say the general view is probably pretty mixed. Mm-hmm. Some people are maybe a little averse to how he got initiated into F1. and I'm not going to lie, at first I was too. But I think he's really proven himself.
Yeah.
I think when he first got in, you know, he hadn't had a lot of time in the car. Money got him in. We all know.
Yeah.
But I think he's really come into his own. He's really, I mean, he's gotten a couple podiums now, and he's just genuinely not slow anymore. And I actually think I'm becoming a bit of a fan.
You know, the irony is I did Jack Villeneuve's career, and there were same sort of stories came out, not so much the wealth, because I mean, he was wealthy, but not in any way like Stroll. And of course, things were different back then, but everybody said, oh, the only reason Jack Villeneuve got picked up was because of his father's name. And, right. You know, he then turned around, won the Indy Championship, won the 500, and won the World Championship in Formula One against the toughest guys in the world. Job done. And I think, right. You know, when it comes to Stroll, I'm like you, Logan. I at first was like, and I heard all the stories. He bought his way to Formula One. He didn't. He won every championship he's ever entered. And I think he's kicking butt in Formula One.
I mean, you can't go to Formula One and not be incredibly amazing without standing out like a sore thumb, you know?
Right.
So he hasn't been perfect, but he's, you know, I think he's earned the right to have that seat. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Okay. Absolutely. Hold on. Hold on.
Uh-oh.
Hold on.
Les is going to speak.
Time out here.
Stand by.
He's going to strut.
Turn your fan off.
Are we going to say the thing about...
Sorry, Les.
Mick Jagger is who I instantly thought of there. But anyway, are we going to say the same thing about Mazespin?
Mazespin.
Mazespin. That's too early to say that, sure to have that conversation, but
he's definitely in the first stage of Stroll's career right now. Although I don't think Stroll had it quite as bad as Mazepin does right now. But you know, I hope that he can get himself out of that.
You know, I take that back. I said I was only going to call him Mazespin on the weekends he spins. He hasn't spun this weekend. So.
That's true. Well, not that we know of.
Not since he got his present. Not since he got his twirler from Gunther.
Yeah.
And the door he gave back to Gunther. Yeah.
Hey, we got another question. Netflix has been huge for American fans in terms of knowledge of motorsport, and especially Formula One. Is that true of Canada too?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, everyone I talk to around here, even people who weren't fans of racing, constantly ask me because they know I'm a race car driver. They're like, have you watched Drive to Survive? And it's like, yeah, I've watched Drive to Survive. Everyone has.
I can beat those guys.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I should be on that show. Talk about me.
I think you should. I hadn't thought about, you know, I've thought of as Drive to Survive is only promoting Formula One, but I hadn't even thought about.
Yeah, it helps all motor racing.
All motor racing, mm-hmm. especially if your motor racing has a F3, F something in there, just like USF3, F4.
Or turns right.
Or turns both directions. That's true. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, I mean, I also think that people who come out from outside of the sport for the first time have no idea the athletic performance, ability, mental strain and pressure that this involves to do, motor racing, that is, and the fight or flight kind of situation you are in every practice session. I mean, it ain't no joke. You get it wrong, and, you know, as we were hearing about Nashville earlier, you know, you're going into a wall, and, you know... ask another Canadian, Hinchcliffe or any others. There's the, you know, you can get involved in some pretty nasty shaves if you get it wrong.
Hey, Logan, do you? I watched Connor Daly when he was all wired up for heart rate and everything, and I could not believe his heart rate during a race. I mean, it was averaging like 140, 150, I can't even remember. It was so high. That, I mean, you had to be as young as he is to even have that heart rate. I think maybe it was even averaging like 170. Do you guys do anything like that? I mean, even as simple as like an Apple Watch or whatever.
Yeah, no, I've never worn any way of tracking that in the car. It'd be really interesting to see. It's not something that you feel in the car. You won't feel your heart pounding. You're too focused to feel that. You only come out of the car and then realize what you're feeling really is what happens. There's been times where I've finished a race, drove all the way to scales. And then the minute I get out, I'm like, I did not realize how lightheaded I was. Like I was hot in that car.
Yeah.
So no, I've never tried.
But that's
that
the fight and flight thing, isn't it? Your body and brain says, okay, I got to do this under this pressure because I'm being pushed to do my body is being pushed to do this. So the brain takes over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a heck of a sport. We got to talk to you about Formula One. We've talked to you about Stroll, but what are your thoughts? We were just talking about Bottas. Should he stay or should he go now? What do you think?
He's getting a little bit older, but I don't think he is. I don't think he's done yet. I think he's still driving well.
Oh, yeah.
Although there is also the argument to be said that would that seat be better used on someone younger?
Like George Russell.
Like George Russell. Yeah. I don't want to see him go. I mean, you always hate to see them go, right?
Sure.
He's friendly. But, I mean, in the paddock, he's definitely skilled. He would have never got the seat.
Yeah.
But I'm with you on that. I'd kind of like to see Russell sit in that seat comparatively and see what happens.
Especially after what he did last year. I mean, at Bahrain, he was incredible. He should have been on the podium no matter what. Even with or without Bottas tires, he still almost made it onto the podium. But what do you think? I mean, it looks like he's either going to go maybe to Williams if Russell goes to Mercedes, or maybe the rumor this week was Alfa Romeo.
Yeah. Raikkonen's got to hang it up at some point, right? I got this. Leave me alone.
Well, gentlemen, we are coming up on the end of our segment here. Logan, why don't you tell everybody? I mean, you're coming to COTA here, right? In October and November now, right?
Yeah, we've got both now. So
Jonathan's got a couch for you. You can just stay.
I'm sure he can find better accommodation.
Hotels are expensive.
Well, that's true.
You said you have not raced on COTA. You looking forward to it?
I've raced in COTA on an FR before.
Oh, you have? Okay.
But I'm still looking forward to it. It's still a fantastic track.
Yeah, you would have done the previous year with Lundqvist and the boys, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that was the big news this week that we found out that you guys in USF4 are coming here twice, not only for the planned event in November, but for Formula One weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. What do you know about COTA? What do you like about COTA or don't like about it?
I mean, the long back straightaway to me is a little boring. I mean, but the rest of it is an amazing track. With the
I know what you mean. 170 miles an hour bores the heck out of me too.
Yeah. I mean, everyone can go fast in a straight line, but
drag racing,
but I mean, with all of the elevation change at the beginning of the track and then like it's so much fun.
Well, I think the difference maybe between an F1 car and an F4 car, maybe that's the back straight difference a little bit. Maybe I don't know if that has something to do with it.
What will you be doing down the back straight in an FR car then?
Probably about 160 miles an hour.
Yeah, that's getting up there.
Yeah,
okay.
Well,
the Formula One cars are just right at 200, I think. They're just touching 200. What are you smiling at, Kaiser?
No, I'm just I'm just laughing at this comparison that it's boring at that speed.
All right, well, Logan.
Hey, that's our time to relax.
That's where you draw breath.
Yeah. Work on the hand grips, you know, check social media. Yeah. No, don't do that. We heard a guy got in trouble for that. Yeah.
Logan, we are out of time. We've got an interview we've got to play after this, so we're going to go ahead and take a break. Thank you, Logan Cousin, for coming on. We really appreciate you coming on.
He should give the world his socials and whatever else.
Address, website, whatever you want to give out.
You can find me at Logan Cousin Racing on Instagram. And also, I have a website, LoganCousinRacing.com.
Cool.
Boom.
Awesome.
I will see you in a couple of weeks, my friend.
I will see you. Thank you for having me.
All right. Thanks, Logan. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
All right. Let's go to a break. And when we come back, we'll have another special interview. We have a recorded interview that you did last night. You're really excited to hear this. All right. You listen to Speed City live from Austin, Texas, back after a break.
Motivation USA, catering to the sport bike enthusiast looking for truly unique parts and accessories. Stand out from the crowd. Motivation is the exclusive North American distributor for SC Project Moto GP inspired exhausts and the largest Rizoma retailer in the United States. Get the best parts from around the world at the best prices with fast shipping and a knowledgeable staff ready to help. Shop online 24/7 at motivationusa.com. That's motivationusa.com.
Welcome to Name Your License Plate. I'm Biff Biffington. All right, Mary Lou, for the cash, the trip, and a new car, name your license plate.
Easy. My plate is ADD24. ACL, ATM, ABC, ACDC, AAA. I can't remember my plate.
You should have gotten a personal Texas plate from MyPlates.com. They're so memorable.
And I could have saved 40% with a 5-year commitment.
Be a winner and order your personalized license plate from MyPlates.com.
Talk 1370, the right choice.
Hi guys, this is Greg Astley and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
I love all those bumpers from the Formula One drivers because in the background you can hear the hum of the trailers. Those are all at COTA.
Yeah.
Rumbling.
When you say the hum of the trailers, what kind of fans are they using?
they're not GPU fans. I don't know what they are. They're air conditioning fans.
That was scary to go into that poor man's living room and tell him what his fan was doing. He probably didn't even know what fan he had.
I got it wrong. It was not a GTX 3080.
It's an air conditioning fan.
It was a 1080 Ti.
Have you made that? I've made that mistake.
The difference between a small block Chevy and a small block Ford. I've missed it completely.
Yeah, I was thinking Ti 85.
What do you dream about?
We have a 6-minute interview. We have 7 minutes left. We have a 6-minute interview, but we have a caller on the line. We got Mike, our Corvette hauler, on the line. Hey, Mike, how's it going, buddy?
I didn't want Casey to put me on. Mike. I knew you guys were busy. I'm just saying, hey, are you there?
Earth to Mike. We might have lost him.
Hey, there we go. I'm listening.
Hey, well, what's going on, man?
Well, I really didn't want Casey to put me on. I know you guys are busy. I just wanted to say, hey, you know, this driving for a living stuck me on East Tropicana by the MGM from Friday night to tomorrow morning. So what's a man to do?
Exactly.
Hey, that's awesome.
Well, I keep clearing a space in my driveway, and I've yet to get my delivery. When is it coming, Mike?
Wait, I have a better question. I have a real question.
Computer chips.
The rumors came out this week. I wish we had it. But there is a rumor, and it's more than a rumor, because I heard a YouTube video from Chevrolet that sounded like about 9,000 RPMs on the new Z06.
Ooh.
How about that for a flat? The rumor is that the new Z06 is going to be a naturally aspirated flat plane crank, 9,000 RPM V8, making like 650 horsepower. Mike?
Have a look in the back, see if you got one.
Yeah, exactly. Can you confirm or deny this rumor?
I cannot say anything, man. They're locked and key from GM.
Yeah.
I can say...
Nobody's listening. You can say it.
You heard more.
Nobody listens to this show.
More than I have.
Yeah.
Well, I heard it. I heard the actual... You know, it was a release from Chevrolet, and that thing sounded like... I mean, if that's a 9,000 RPM redline... There's how many cars on the road right now are 9,000 RPM redline, right?
I mean, Lexus LFA.
Well,
Yeah, well, I'm talking current production, not very many, just a handful, right? Hey, well, buddy, well, thanks for calling. Thanks
I got a question for Mike. Mike, we've been talking about this all night. So real quick, Bottas to stay at Mercedes or Russell to come in like a Jack Russell?
Well, I think Bottas served his purpose. He was always going to be second. So
there you go.
First he's going to go and be one, maybe.
That's a really good way of putting it.
All right, buddy, we got to go. We got to play this interview. All right, well, Les Kaiser, quickly introduce this interview you got.
Yeah, I was invited to a great event the other evening. Jeff Mosing reached out to me and invited me to come, and he knows we're always pushing charities. And
local racer, Jeff Mosing, yeah.
Jeff Mosing, yeah, doing a great job. Let's just go to Jeff. He's actually going to introduce it for us.
All right, let's do it.
Speed City fans, always fun to get caught up when our friends are out on track. We've got Jeff Mosing. We've had Jeff around for a long time, and Jeff, you're having a great season. Congrats on your win, buddy.
Thank you. We always have a good run at Lime Rock. The last 7 or 8 years, we've been able to do really well there. Hats off to the guys, Murillo Racing. They do the same thing they do and produce great results, you know, based on their pit stops.
It really is. There's a lot of cool stuff going on, but Jeff, we're not here to talk to you this time.
No.
I want to meet your buddy here.
Absolutely. Phil, I've run with Nick Glani when they were running with IMSA, and a good friend of mine. They're running on the SRO side now, and what they're doing is they're always trying to raise awareness for Alzheimer's. So we're doing this event here at the garage to help them make, you know, get awareness.
You bet. You know, appreciate it. I know we've both got family connections to that unfortunate disease, but Phil, welcome to Austin. Welcome to Jeff's barn, as we call it.
Yeah, I know.
Tell us about what's going on.
Well, first of all, hats off to Jeff. I mean, what a wonderful man. I mean, I reached out to him and said, listen, this is what I'm trying to do. And he says, you got to come by my place. And I'll bring a few friends. So there's about 100 people here.
A few.
A few. Friends. You realize we're in Texas, right?
So a few friends. So there's all these wonderful people I've been talking to tonight. And our whole thing has been that as a racing guy and a sponsor of race teams, I had the unfortunate circumstance of having my wife become affected by Alzheimer's. And so we've gone down this road of her diagnosis and her development through this progressive disease. And it dawned on me that maybe racing was something that would be good. And, you know, the racing community is unbelievable. This fellowship, you know, the fellowship of Jeff to me, competitors, and it's just unbelievable. So we created the Racing to End Alzheimer's Foundation. And our whole premise is cover the car with names of people affected by Alzheimer's, those living, those that may have passed on. Put their name up there, put their hometown there, honor them. Give the people and their families the opportunity to honor them. It'll make them feel good. And it's a good thing. And out of that, we raise money and we do good things with that. And so that's what we're all about. And so we're here celebrating that tonight. It's fabulous.
You know, you're right. You know, it's a great community. We see people out on the track and we're competitive. And there's a phrase that I used at the Formula One event. It was a sense of battle on a friendly field.
Yeah.
We're friends off, but we're going to compete hard.
Yes. Yeah.
And you know what? When we get off, we take care of the family. We give each other parts to get back on the track. We do all these things, whatever, to keep the competition going and keep the family going. So tell us what you're actually doing. Your car looks like it's got a few miles on it here recently.
Yeah, so we're racing with the Racing End Alzheimer's livery, and we have names all over the car. We have a gap in the season. You know, our Canadian race was canceled because we did this last year when COVID hit. We took a tour from Daytona Motor Speedway to Laguna Seca, WeatherTech Speedway, and we did that, and we stopped at our beneficiary hospitals. We stopped at BMW dealers. We stopped at donors' houses and surprised them and said, hey, come on out and look at your loved one's name on the car. So we're doing the same thing this year. Because of the gap in the racing season, we're doing, instead of 4,500 miles, we're doing 9,000 miles. And we're about a third of the way in here in Austin, Texas. We started at Pikes Peak. Our teammate James Clay from Bimmer World was running the Pikes Peak climb. So it's a two-month tour, 9,000 miles.
Oh, that's fantastic. What are you driving, though, out there?
Well, BMW of North America has loaned us an M8 convertible competition package car. Top's been down a lot. My nose is browner than when I started, and we're having a great time. And we're meeting a lot of people, and we're adding names to the car, and we're just continuing on our mission to increase awareness around Alzheimer's and the fight against it and seeking a cure.
Philip, fantastic campaign. Jeff, thanks for introducing us. How do we keep up with you as you go around?
So our website is R2ENDALZ. That's the letter R, the number 2ENDALZ.org. But you can find us on Facebook and LinkedIn and Instagram. Just go to Racing to End Alzheimer's. You'll find us.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We got to go. Check us out on our website, SpeedCityBroadcast.com, because our Formula One coverage starts like back up next weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
One briefcase, one moment could change everything. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving you a chance to own your destiny in 2026. Play throughout the month of January, and on January 28th, One Club Serrano member will win the case, and with it, a finale spot in any 2026 promotion, plus $400,000. Which destiny will you choose? It's all happening at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Talk 1370, the right choice.
Hi guys, this is Pierre Gasly, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
I love all those bumpers from the Formula One drivers, because in the background you can hear the hum of the trailers. Those are all at COTA.
Yeah.
All rumbling.
When you say the hum of the trailers, what kind of fans are they using?
They're not GPU fans. I don't know what they are. They're air conditioning fans.
That was scary to go into that poor man's living room and tell him what his fan was doing. He probably didn't even know what fan he had.
I got it wrong. It was not a GTX 3080.
It's an air conditioning fan.
It was a 1080 Ti.
Have you made that? I've made that mistake.
The difference between a small block Chevy and a small block Ford. I've missed it completely.
Yeah, I was thinking Ti 85.
We have a
6-minute interview. We have 7 minutes left. We have a 6-minute interview, but we have a caller on the line. We got Mike, our Corvette hauler, on the line. Hey, Mike, how's it going, buddy?
I didn't want Casey to put me on. Mike. I knew you guys were busy. I'm just saying, hey, are you there?
Earth to Mike. We might have lost him.
Hey, there we go. I'm listening.
Hey, well, what's going on, man?
Well, I really didn't want Casey to put me on. I know you guys are busy. I just wanted to say, hey, you know, this driving for a living stuck me on East Tropicana by the MGM from Friday night to tomorrow morning. So what's a man to do?
Exactly.
Hey, that's awesome.
Well, I keep clearing a space in my driveway, and I've yet to get my delivery. When is it coming, Mike?
Wait, I have a better question.
There's a back order.
I have a real question.
Computer chips.
The rumors came out this week. I wish we had it. But there is a rumor, and it's more than a rumor, because I heard a YouTube video from Chevrolet that sounded like about 9,000 RPMs on the new Z06.
Ooh.
How about that for a flat? The rumor is that the new Z06 is going to be a naturally aspirated flat plane crank, 9,000 RPM V8, making like 650 horsepower. Mike?
Have a look in the back, see if you got one.
Yeah, exactly. Can you confirm or deny this rumor?
I cannot say anything. Lock and key from GM.
Yeah.
I can say...
Nobody's listening. You can say it.
You heard more.
Nobody
you
listens to this show.
More than I have.
Yeah.
Well, I heard it. I heard the actual... You know, it was a release from Chevrolet, and that thing sounded like... I mean, if that's a 9,000 RPM redline... There's how many cars on the road right now are 9,000 RPM redline, right?
I mean, Lexus LFA.
S2000?
Well, Yeah, well, I'm talking current production, not very many, just a handful, right? Hey, well, buddy, well, thanks for calling. Thanks
I got a question for Mike. Mike, we've been talking about this all night, so real quick, Bottas to stay at Mercedes or Russell to come in like a Jack Russell?
Well, I think Bottas served his purpose. He was always going to be second, so
there you go.
First he's going to go and be one, maybe.
That's a really good way of putting it.
All right, buddy, we got to go. We got to play this interview. All right, well, Les Kaiser, quickly introduce this interview you got.
Yeah, I was invited to a great event the other evening. Jeff Mosing reached out to me and invited me to come, and he knows we're always pushing charities. And
local racer, Jeff Mosing, yeah.
Jeff Mosing, yeah, doing a great job. Let's just go to Jeff. He's actually going to introduce it for us.
All right, let's do it.
Speed City fans, always fun to get caught up when our friends are out on track. We've got Jeff Mosing. We've had Jeff around for a long time, and Jeff, you're having a great season. Congrats on your win, buddy.
Thank you. We always have a good run at Lime Rock. The last 7 or 8 years, we've been able to do really well there. Hats off to the guys, Murillo Racing. They do the same thing they do and produce great results, you know, based on their pit stops.
It really is. There's a lot of cool stuff going on, but Jeff, we're not here to talk to you this time.
No.
I want to meet your buddy here.
Absolutely. Phil, I've run with Nick Glani when they were running with IMSA, and a good friend of mine. They're running on the SRO side now, and what they're doing is they're always trying to raise awareness for Alzheimer's. So we're doing this event here at the garage to help them make, you know, get awareness.
You bet. You know, appreciate it. I know we've both got family connections to that unfortunate disease, but Phil, welcome to Austin. Welcome to Jeff's barn, as we call it.
Yeah, I know.
Tell us about what's going on.
Well, first of all, hats off to Jeff. I mean, what a wonderful man. I mean, I reached out to him and said, listen, this is what I'm trying to do. And he says, you got to come by my place. And I'll bring a few friends. So there's about 100 people here.
A few.
A few. Yeah. You realize we're in Texas, right?
So a few friends. So there's all these wonderful people I've been talking to tonight. And our whole thing has been that as a racing guy and a sponsor of race teams, I had the unfortunate circumstance of having my wife become affected by Alzheimer's. And so we've gone down this road of her diagnosis and her development through this progressive disease. And it dawned on me that maybe racing was something that would be good. And, you know, the racing community is unbelievable. This fellowship, you know, the fellowship of Jeff to me, competitors, and it's just unbelievable. So we created the Racing to End Alzheimer's Foundation. And our whole premise is cover the car with names of people affected by Alzheimer's, those living, those that may have passed on. Put their name up there, put their hometown there, honor them. Give the people and their families the opportunity to honor them. It'll make them feel good, and it's a good thing. And out of that, we raise money and we do good things with that. And so that's what we're all about. And so we're here celebrating that tonight. It's fabulous.
You know, you're right. You know, it's a great community. We see people out on the track, and we're competitive. And there's a phrase that I used at the Formula One event. It was a sense of battle on a friendly field.
Yeah.
We're friends off, but we're going to compete hard.
Yes. Yeah.
And you know what? When we get off, we take care of the family. We give each other parts to get back on the track. We do all these things, whatever, to keep the competition going and keep the family going. So tell us what you're actually doing. Your car looks like it's got a few miles on it here recently.
So we're racing with the Racing End Alzheimer's livery, and we have names all over the car. We have a gap in the season. You know, our Canadian race was canceled because we did this last year when COVID hit. We took a tour from Daytona Motor Speedway to Laguna Seca, WeatherTech Speedway, and we did that, and we stopped at our beneficiary hospitals. We stopped at BMW dealers. We stopped at donors' houses and surprised them and said, hey, come on out and look at your loved one's name on the car. So we're doing the same thing this year. Because of the gap in the racing season, we're doing, instead of 4,500 miles, we're doing 9,000 miles. And we're about a third of the way in here in Austin, Texas. We started at Pikes Peak. Our teammate James Clay from Bimmer World was running the Pikes Peak climb. So it's a two-month tour, 9,000 miles.
Oh, that's fantastic. What are you driving, though, out there?
Well, BMW of North America has loaned us an M8 convertible competition package car. Top's been down a lot. My nose is browner than when I started, and we're having a great time. And we're meeting a lot of people, and we're adding names to the car, and we're just continuing on our mission to increase awareness around Alzheimer's and the fight against it and seeking a cure.
Philip, fantastic campaign. Jeff, thanks for introducing us. How do we keep up with you as you go around?
So our website is R2ENDALZ. That's the letter R, the number 2ENDALZ.org. But you can find us on Facebook and LinkedIn and Instagram. Just go to Racing to End Alzheimer's. You'll find us.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We got to go. Check us out on our website, SpeedCityBroadcast.com, because our Formula One coverage starts back up next weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.